Jnanaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Bana Chahe. Jamuna Tira Bana Chahe. Indraya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivare Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivare Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Bana Chahe. Jamuna Tira Bana Chahe. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Anita Gaur Hari Bho, Hari Bho, Hari Bho, Gaur Hari Bho. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Vishnupad Paramahansa Bhavajaka Acharya Astatara Sata Sri Simad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Nityo Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Bhavajaka Acharya Astatara Sata Sri Simad His Divine Grace Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Nityo Shri Gorkishordas Babji Maharaj Ki Jai Om Nityo Om Vishnupad Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur Saptam Goswami Ki Anata Kavodi Vaishnavindi Ki Namacharya Haridasta Kurkiji Prem Sakahu Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhutyananda Siya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivindi Ki Sisi Radha Krishna Gogobina Siyamakundi Radhakundi Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindava Mithuradam Ki Nabadweep Maya Purdam Chi Dribunamayi Gangamayi Kalsimani Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samabeda Bhaktivindi Ki Sri Sri Kishore Kishore Ki, Shri Shri Nitai Gauranga Ki, Shri Shri Jagannath Swami Baladev Subhadra Ki, all glories assembled devotees, all glories assembled devotees, all glories assembled devotees, all glories to Sisi Guru and Gauranga, all glories to the Gaudiya Guru Vaishnava Sampradaya Ki. What verse? 13 or 11? 13 up here, if that's what you got up there. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nastradus naisatidus saha shun mam tyaktadam api badhate pibantam tvan mukambhaja chyutam hari Kitamritam Naisa Tudu Sahakshun Mam Takto Dhamma Pibadhate Pibantam Twan Mukambaja Chutam Hari Kitamritam Naisa tidu sahakshun ma Takto dhamma pibadhate Pibantam tvamukam bhaja Chutam hari ketam ritam Nasaditu sahasunmam Takto dhamma pibadhate Pibantam tvan mukam bhaja Chutam hari ketam ritam Yaroktam api badhate Bhambhaja Pibantam tvan mukam Naisatidu sahakshun mam Taktudam api badhate Pibantam tvan mukam bhaja Jyotam hari ketam ritam Nasadhidu sahakshun mam Tadoktam api bhadhate Pibantam tvan mukam bhaja Jyutam hari ketam ritam. Ladies. Nisadidu sahasun mam. Tadoktam api badhate. Pibantan tan mukam bhaja. Chutam harikatam vritam. Na. Not. Esa. All this. Atidu saha. Extremely difficult to bear. Shoot, hunger, mam, unto me, takta udam, even after giving up drinking water, api, also, badhate, does not hinder, pibantam, while drinking, twat muka amboja chutam, emanating from your lotus mouth. Harikatamritam, the nectar of the topics concerning Krishna. I'm going to chant this again. It's so very nice to chanting in association of devotees because the vibration actually penetrates your heart. Naisati dusahashun mam. Tyaktodama pibadhate pibantam tvanukam bhaja chutam harikatam ritam. This is Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text Number 13, Translation. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. You can all repeat. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I'm drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To prepare to meet death in 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit gave up all food and drink. As a human being, he was certainly both hungry and thirsty, and therefore Sukadev Goswami might have wanted to stop narrating the transcendental topics of Krishna. But despite his fast, Maharaj Parikshit was not at all fatigued. The hunger and thirst from my fast do not disturb me, he said. Once when I felt very thirsty, I went to this ashram of Samika Muni to drink water, but the Muni did not supply it. I therefore wrapped a dead snake over his shoulder, and that is why I was cursed by the Brahmin boy. Now, however, I am quite fit. I am not at all disturbed by my hunger and thirst. This indicates that although on the material platform there are disturbances from hunger and thirst, on the spiritual platform there is no such thing as fatigue. The entire world is suffering because of spiritual thirst. Every living being is Brahma, or spirit soul, and needs spiritual food to satisfy his hunger and thirst. Unfortunately, however, the world is completely unaware of the nectar of Krishna Katha. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore a boon to philosophers, religionists, and people in general. There is certainly a charming attraction in Krishna and Krishna Katha. Therefore, the absolute truth is called Krishna, the most attractive. The word Amrita is also important reference to the moon, and the word Ambuja means lotus. The pleasing moonshine and pleasing fragrance of the lotus combine to bring pleasure to everyone hearing Krishna Katha from the mouth of Sukadev Goswami. As it is said, Matirna Krishna Parata Svatobab Nita Bipadyeta Griha Vratam Adanta Gopir Visatam Tamisram Puna Punas Charvita Charavarhanam. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 5th chapter, 30th verse. At the present moment, all of human society is engaged in the business of chewing the chewed. Punas puna charvita charvarnam. People are prepared to undergo mrityu samsara vartmani, taking birth in one form, dying, accepting another form, and dying again. To stop this repetition of birth and death, Krishna katha, or Krishna consciousness, is absolutely necessary. But unless one hears Krishna katha from a realized soul, like Sukadev Goswami, one cannot relish the nectar of Krishna katha, which puts an end to all material fatigue and enjoy the blissful life of transcendental existence. In relation to Krishna consciousness movement, we actually see that those who have tasted the nectar of Krishna katha lose all material desires, whereas those who cannot understand Krishna or Krishna katha regard the Krishna consciousness life as brainwashing and mind control. While the devotees enjoy spiritual bliss, the non-devotees are surprised that the devotees have forgotten material hankerings. Wow. Om Agnya Timurandasya Gnanjana Salakaye Chaksurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Swapadandikam Vandeham Sri Guru Suyuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Scham Sri Rupam Sahagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Agna Lalita Sri Vishakavitam Scham. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamam Hi Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Ghor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami bhuri yogam tam nenam upayantite. Let me first offer my respectful obeisance at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Let me second offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of my param guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to all my six gurus. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to all my godbrothers who are here tonight. And I offer my respectful obeisances all to the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who have gathered here for this auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam reading. So I'm very fortunate that I'm getting an opportunity to come here in the presence of a temple where all of the sadhus are here who are engaging in devotional service on a regular basis. Those of us who are coming from outside. We rarely get to the marketplace where all devotional service is getting to be performed. So we're fortunate any time that the Lord calls upon us to be render some seva. And especially for me, this verse, this is glorifying Hari Katha. So as you know, the speaker of this particular verse is Sukadev Goswami. And he spoke a little bit in the purport that he was feeling very thirsty. And when one day, of course, in his travels in the kingdom, he felt very thirsty and he went to a home ashram of one Babaji who was in deep in meditation. And he was asking him, because I'm the king, please get me water. But he wasn't responding. So Maharaj Parikshit trained the position of anger and picked up a dead snake and put it on his shoulders. When the son of the Brahmana came back and saw that his father had this dead snake on him, he became very angry. And being young Brahmana boy, but young qualified in the sense of fully controlling his senses, this was the first fall from Brahmanas at that time, he had cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die in 7 days by a snake bird. So this all gathered to the point where Sukadev Goswami had given up his kingdom, and he was very special. He was not the only, not only was he the grandson of Arjun and the Pandavas, but Krishna himself had protected him in the womb when he was in the womb of his mother. And Ashwatthama, who was a son of Dronacharya, was at the very end of the field of battlefield. He was much angered and he went to kill all of the sons of the Pandavas. So he successfully killed all the remaining sons of the Pandavas, except for the one son that was in the womb of Abhimanyu's wife, and this was future to be Maharaj Parikshit. So Ashwatthama had the power. He unleashed a Brahmasta. And an internal Brahmasta is not just like we have our nuclear weapons today that blows up everything for miles around and destroys and contaminates everything. But the Brahmasta could also be controlled by mantra. And then it could be localized. So he sent the Brahmasta inside the womb of Abhimanyu's wife. And that particular, she was praying that Lord Krishna came personally and absorbed all of the energy of the Brahmasta. And in the womb, also Maharaj Parikshit was called witness sometimes because he was able to also see that form of Krishna. So this is a very special person. When he came out, of course, he was the last remaining heir of the Pandavas. And he took the position of king and ruled very, very fervently the regulative principles, and again reestablished the devotional activities. And Kali Yuga was not able to enter. Maharaj Kali went, and he came in front of, at some point, Maharaj Parikshit. And Maharaj, he said, he came to surrender to him, where can I go? There's no place in this kingdom where there's meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex life. Everything is following religious rules. So Maharaj Parikshit, being a king and being also merciful, gave him four locations where he could, some locations where he could stay, wherever there's hoarding of money, wherever there's gambling, where there is illicit sex life, or where there is intoxication. In those places he could stay, but hardly was there a place. But still there are some. And so the onslaught of Kali Yuga, which we're now seeing its manifestation today, was halted for several generations, even after Maharaj Parikshit's sons had ruled. So in this way, Maharaj Parikshit came, and as he gave up everything, he went to the forest of Namisharanya. And there, all the different sages were there, including Vyasadeva And there were so many thousands of sages that were there, and they were putting the questions, what does one do at the time of death? And so they were thinking, who should be answering? And at that time, by seemingly the arrangement of Krishna and by fate, there was a young, beautiful, bluish boy, young man, who was walking naked along the pathways coming toward the forest. And there was many children that were mocking him and playing and throwing some stuff at him and mocking. But when he started to come to the assembly of the Vaishnavas and the sages, immediately they all stood up to honor Sukadeva Goswami. And the children, seeing that all the sages that were standing up honoring this soul that's coming to him, they all became frightened and ran away. And Sukadeva Goswami, even though his father was there, and even though there were so many other sages and great personalities were there, they all honored Sukadeva Goswami, who from his very, very birth, he stayed in his mother's womb for 18 years. 18 years? 16 years. Thank you. Stayed in his mother's womb for 16 years because he didn't want to come out and have to deal with Maya. We can't wait to get out and deal with Maya. But anyway, Sukadev Goswami, he didn't want to come out and have to deal with this. And as soon as he came out, what did he do? He came out and he was a 16-year-old boy, and he immediately took off to the forest. And his father said, wait. And all he could hear was the sound of echoes from the different trees, the mantra. So he took off. He said, I didn't even want to have to deal anything with material life, father, mother, wife, children. This is like, that wasn't his idea at all. He already knew. He became realized, hearing in his mother's womb the transcendental pastimes that found in this wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam. So hearing that, he became purified. And so this great book, the Srimad Bhagavatam, I was thinking that how fortunate all of you are. You're now entering the 10th canto. And all of the different 9 cantos before are all different elevations, like you're going up different stairway up to getting toward the top level. So now all the pastimes of Ajamil and the pastimes of Chichaketu and the pastimes of Gajendra and all these different Leelas, the Prahlad Maharaj, all these things have been stepping stones, and these are things we're supposed to realize and have appreciation. So by the time we reach the 10th canto, we should understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now all the different platforms, the understanding the different devotees and their surrender like Prahlad Maharaj, all these things are supposed to be inculcated into the devotee's heart. So as we approach the 10th canto, then we need to approach the 10th canto with full dandabats and praying at the mercy of the different devotees who have given this literature for the benefit of all mankind. We as devotees should understand it is only by the good fortune, only by some great good fortune, we even come in contact with this. So Srila Prabhupada, he spent his entire blood in translating these literatures. He was told by a spiritual master to preach these, preach in the English language. And even before he ever came here, he had translated the first 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam because he had such great faith in his heart that these transcendental messages need to be spread. And so some of you may have seen, I got to see in the different libraries, we went where Srila Prabhupada personally put books. And you know, I was thinking one day of stealing them when I was in Delhi, but then I thought, no, Prabhupada wouldn't like that. So, but we touched those books and put them to our head because Prabhupada spent his blood in giving these literatures to us. So this is, what is this speaking here? In this particular verse that now we have come, that Sukadeva Goswami is now speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, and Maharaj Parikshit is fasting from food and water because he only has 7 days to live. So unlike us, if we have 7 days in the materialist, what they do, they'll try to enjoy as much as they can. They'll try to grab every kind of enjoyment they can because I only got 7 days to better. You only go around once in life, so better enjoy it now because that's it. That's their feeling. But Maharaj Parikshit was not such a person. He was a devotee, understood. Now tell me, what is my duty for one who's about to die? If we think about that, these are also our platform. What is our duty for one who's about to die? Because who knows how long anyone will live? It's not guaranteed that the youngest person won't be the oldest person. And the fact that death may come at any time. So one should understand, well, what is my duty? So this whole platform of Bhagavatam is taking us through the process of understanding who are we, that we're a spirit soul, and that spirit soul is meant to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. And who is that Supreme Lord? We're supposed to develop love for him, but how will you develop love for him if we've not developed the relationship? And we haven't heard about his transcendental pastimes, his activities that are so wonderful. So he's given us now, we're entering into the 10th canto. And as there's in there, there's so many different kunjas, the different chapters. And then there's five major chapters, which are like the five super kunjas, and then to which brings out pure love of God. So this literature is not found anywhere else. There's no cheating in this literature, as we heard in the first canto, explaining this literature is supreme amongst all because there's no cheating propensity in it. It's not going to lie to you. It's not going to cheat you. It's not going to give you some sort of misdirection or some kind of, you know, mitigated platform, semi-spiritual and semi-material. No, it gives you the pure devotional love. So now we're entering into this 10th canto. So the explanation here is becoming so wonderful. Why? Because even though they're ordinary human beings who will suffer hunger and thirst, but as Maharaj would normally be suffering that, spiritually speaking, now he's getting a chance to hear the ambrosial nectar of Harikatha spoken by the Krishna's representative who's sending Sukadev Goswami, who is also none other than the parrot of Radha and Krishna. He was left back in this after the pastimes of Lord Krishna to be able to spread the messages of the transcendental Leela and Harikatha of their pastimes and activities. So Sukadev Goswami so wonderfully enunciated with such heart and feeling that anyone who hears Nasta Prayeshu Abhidveshu Nityam Bhagavata Seveya, and hearing the wonderful transcendental ambrosia nectar, their hearts will become filled with joy. It'll start washing away the millions and millions of dust that's been accumulated for lifetime after lifetime, and starts to give us a platform into which we can begin to appreciate the nectar of activities of Bhagavan Sri Krishna and his consort and his eternal pure devotees. So Maharaj Parikshit is feeling that same ambrosial nectar that even by hearing Harikatha, that all of his lamentations, all of his sufferings and his austerities are all being just mitigated by being able to hear the spiritual words of that's being emanated from Sukadev Goswami. And what is those emanated words? Harikatha. And Harikatha, and what is the most important thing also of Harikatha? Is having the transcendental association of the advanced devotee. By having the association of a trance devotee, of an advanced devotee, why is that important? Because the advanced devotee actually carries Krishna within their heart. You can't love God if you don't have if you don't have love, you can't distribute love. If it's not within your heart, then how will you give it what you don't possess? So having the association of the advanced devotees or the pure devotee, why is it so important? And it says in the Bhagavatam also that their words sprinkle out, just the sprinkling from their words are like ambrosia and they're hitting, and those as they enter the ear or they become blessed onto the different devotees, the devotees immediately become absorbed in being able to hear, and that hearing they become blessed by those words emanating from a pure devotee's heart or advanced devotee who's carrying love within his heart. Because if they give love within heart, he can distribute it. So without that association, without having the opportunity of having the association of hearing Krishna Katha from an advanced, elevated devotee, then what happens? We become somewhat stunted in our devotional life. 90%, the nine different processes of a devotional service, they all have to be performed with Hare Kirtan, chanting the holy name. You can perform it, but if you're not chanting the holy name, then it doesn't have the full effect at the same time that you're doing these things. But unless you have the association of Sadhu Sangha, unless you have that Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha will elevate even the chanting of holy name. Because why? In that association, because the pure devotee is chanting and you're hearing the Harikatha from a pure devotee, that seed, that bij enters the heart, and devotional service is watered and it starts to sprout. So Prabhupada would sometimes explain, it's like getting in the elevator and you're thinking normally, but in that association of Sadhu Sangha and in your practice devotional service, automatically the elevator is going up. And when the door opens and you get out, you're no longer on the first floor. According to your surrender, you're on the different ledges and stages. Even though you think, I was just there yesterday, now where am I at? So Sadhu Sangha is so important. And here it's being glorified. By that Sadhu Sangha, the ambrosial nectar of Harikatha, not only is the words being spoken, but they're actually being distributed. Because that devotee is in the mood. He's presenting the mood of love that they have, and they're distributing to all those who listen to them. So how fortunate. Being just even in the assembly, or being there, being able to hear these words later, by the mercy of Sukadev Goswami and the followers of presented the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we as Western, most of us, though some of you from India, the most of us that are so far away from Vrindavan, so far away from understanding Sanskrit or Bengali or Hindi, if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, who, if you had a chance to see in the evening, He would even when people were all gone and we went to bed, Prabhupada, we'd be sitting there writing or translating. And even at the time of his deathbed, you will see Jaidwaita Swami and others are putting a microphone up to Prabhupada. His body is already racked, practically finished, and he's translating the different parts of this very same 10th canto. Prabhupada did this not for his own aggrandizement or his own benefit, but he wanted to give the love that he had in his heart and distribute that he received from his spiritual master, that Bhakti Siddhanta had received from his spiritual master, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who had received it from his Shikshu Guru, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who had received it from his Shikshu, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and all the way up the line, all the way back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then further back, all the way to Lord Brahma, and then all the way Lord Brahma was given, Krishna gave it himself. This is the mercy of Vaishnava. When we say, Vanchakalpatubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyabhacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavibhyo Namaha. They're actually giving mercy. They don't need it so themselves. They're giving their heart, they're giving their association. So we, those of us out here with just a little tiny flame, we're on devotional service, just a creeper, a little speck, and just a little flame. So they're igniting it. They're putting fuel on it so it can fly, it can burn. They're praying for our benefit. I remember in Vrindavan, one day all the devotees went to Govardhan and they were carrying different fruits and stuff to offer to Govardhan. And then I stayed back, and then I asked one question. I said, why don't you go also? I said, I'm staying here with you. Because I thought, Govardhan can answer anybody's questions, anyone's desires. Govardhan is completely capable of giving all the highest levels of devotional love. But still, while the pure devotees are on the planet, then what is my business going there? I should stay here because this is who Krishna sent to save us. And so I asked, what are you doing? He said, I'm offering all of you to Krishna that he may accept. So we became the prasadam. We were being offered. Everyone is offering. We're going and offering to Govardhan, but actually the difference was we were being offered as prasad, that Radha and Krishna, Govardhan, please accept these devotees. Maybe they're not very advanced, but they still have some desire of love for your heart. So I'm pleased you, they're following, please you accept them. So what kind of mercy is being distributed? We have to understand. Sadhu Sangha becomes our topmost desire. For those of us, especially those living outside the temple, but even those living in the temple, the aphorism is there in the Upanishads. It is stated that when one has the opportunity where an advanced Vaishnav will come, then one should run like a man with his hair on fire runs to the river to jump in to put it out. In that same eagerness, one should run to hear a Sadhu Sangha and hear a Hari Katha. So if we're not having that eagerness, then something is amiss. We're trying to capture water, but our fingers are far apart and everything is going through. So we have to close the fingers and make a nice cup. And how do we make that cup? Wherever there's an opportunity to hear a Hari Katha, wherever there's an advanced devotee that has some realization, that may not have all realization, but if they're following the process, then they're bound to have realization. They cannot be a devotee, real devotee, and if you're really surrendering, if you're putting Vyasatmaka Buddhi, the actual destination, I don't want anything else but the lotus feet of Shishi Kishore Kishore, Shishi Radha Madhava, Shishi Gauranatai. We want to make our destination, our devotional service, our heart, our thing one-pointed. And if they've made that one-pointed and they're praying to the Lord will certainly send someone to them to help them wake up, to help them, give them some guidance and opportunity that their heart may grow, that they may have some aspiration of hearing the transcendental pastimes. By hearing the transcendental pastimes by a sadhu sangha, in sadhu sangha, then one's devotional life opens up like a bud of a flower when in the daytimes it opens up to the sun. Otherwise, our hearts become closed, hard-hearted. And we think only for ourselves, what is for my benefit? What is for my profit? What is for my adoration? What is for my distinction? How could I be pleased? But that is not who we are, really. Who are we? We are dasu das anudasa. We're the servant of 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 who? That master of the gopis, Sri Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So our desire is that we should be somehow or other placing ourselves at the lotus feet, that we can become used in his service, that qualified or unqualified, if somehow we desire, even if unqualified, we desire to somehow to distribute the mercy of the Lord, whatever we know. I was told, I was commanded to say, I'm not very advanced, and I'm not. So then I was told, whatever you know that you give, others will muchly benefit. And I'm going, how will they benefit from what I say? I was thinking, this is impossible. But somehow or other, commanded, whatever we do in practice and devotional service, boundly Krishna will bind our heart. And if we give one step, I was spoken the other day, Krishna will take 10 steps toward us. If we're really serious about Krishna consciousness in this devotional line, in Krishna consciousness, if we're very serious, then we're going to run to Hari Katha wherever it's given it. And you know what? We have a larger family. Anyone who's coming in, who's surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is coming down in that lineage. Anyone who's making advancement, our family is very large, and it will grow more and more and more. So some, they're more than others. Some are coming back. They've already practiced this thousands of lifetimes. And they're coming back now. Maybe this is their last lifetime. Their realization has already been there from birth. They're taking the opportunity now to finish up Others are just starting. So we have all different levels of people, of devotees, from kanistas up to uttamas that are practicing in our devotional line. But ourselves, we have to look into our heart. Where are we at? What is our seriousness? At what level are we willing to surrender to Radha and Krishna? How much do we really want them versus wanting name, fame, profit, adoration, or distinction? So those of us working outside in grihastha families, then this is, it's very hard because most of your day is taken up serving bad masters. Let's be realistic. We're serving, even if we're our own boss, we follow in our own mind, which is, that's also a bad master. But we're serving so many different people for the, trying to engage our day for some pound, shilling, and pence to maintain our families. This is certainly admirable. It's also a bona fide ashram. But the more and more one hankers for the association of devotees, the more and more one hankers for the love of Radha and Krishna, then why are we wasting so much time? So sometimes, just like one of the classes that was given on a Sunday, one of the ladies here said, and they asked, what are the problems? She says, family, yes. Prabhupada had said to us, he said, the good thing about you Americans is that you're not so attached to family. In India, there's very much strength, and yet everyone, it's hard to break all these family ties. But, you know, many of us have either had broken families or dysfunctional families, or like, okay, whatever, you know, father, I'm not going to that, now you do that. So, and neither are we, and he said, neither do you worship the demigods. So, you know, we knocked out a couple of the, you know, the inhibiting factors of devotional service. That may be the only semi-qualifications we had being born in the West, but, you know, somehow or other, that if we can place our own love, our own desire, our own happiness to render to the service of God, to serve the Vaishnavas, to serve the spiritual master, then we have hope. I was told, do not become hopeless. Because I was thinking, there was a Vyas Pooja, and I was in the back of the Vyas Pooja, and I, you know, everyone celebrating, going wild, and I'm in the back thinking, you know, all these examples of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta, all the different devotees. I'm thinking, I have no qualification. I didn't even register on the Richter scale for where they're at. We didn't even make a little bump. You know, we're not even visible yet. Where is this guy, you know, in devotional line? Everyone else is, these are high mountaintops, and we're down in, like, you know, I don't know, I think he's under the ground there. So I was thinking, so that, you know, devotional service, I was thinking that verse, that devotional service in this Krishna conscious movement seems so high, like the Himalayas, that you have to look up so high that your hat falls off. And I'm thinking, what opportunity? I mean, I'm not have no qualifications. And so I was thinking very like hopeless. And all of a sudden, this devotee comes up to me and says, "You're wanted in the front." And I go, "It's Guru Pooja." He said, "Yes, you have to come." So I went through about 500 devotees up to the front, and then it was whispered in the ear, "Don't become hopeless." So we should understand that in our heart also is Chaita Guru, and our Guru is also there. So we're never alone. We're not, when we want to commit sinful activities, it's not like, oh, it's in the dark, no one will see now. No, our hearts is there. They're trying to purify our hearts. So sometimes we're like our worst candidates. We're trying to light the fire and pouring water at the same time. If we understand that Krishna is in our heart and Guru is in our heart, and the other Vaishnavas are helping, where are we alone? Where are we someplace where they're not? So this has to be a realization for devotees, because it's hard struggle. In the temples, I remember I was a temple president for several different temple presidents, and I was the vice president of all the ISKCON temple presidents, and so many things. It's hard managing a temple, getting all the people with diverse backgrounds to work together. Everyone's volunteered. So then, like, when you're working in a, you know, I have 100 employees working for me in the hospital, I can tell them what to do. You must do. Here you go. Can you please, Prabhu? Would you? No, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't want to do that today. You know? So it's kind of like, we got to do this. You know, so you're always struggling and trying to serve Krishna. But in that mentality of how to serve Krishna and who's going to cook the offering and who's going to make the, who's going to offer it, who's going to be chanting Mangalarti, who's going to give class, and all these things are going around the manager's heart. And if you're doing one of these services, then this is your mercy. You're getting an opportunity, even though we're unqualified, you're getting an opportunity to serve Krishna. In any of the services, Kishore Kishore, you're here every day, chanting, hearing classes, taking association, taking Prabhupada, taking prasadam. All these things are your benedictions. So when the time comes, when Krishna sends some advanced devotee, I want to come also. We should go, we should run to bear an opportunity to hear. Why? Because whatever that love in their heart, they will also give. Because the venture of the Vaishnava is what? He wants to give. I want to take. He wants to give. And what does he give? He will give that love. And if that love, just a little flicker of that love, it immediately feeds the soul. The soul becomes pleased. Because why? Chaita Guru inside, yes, this is very good. The person said is good. And then immediately our love begins to grow, manifest, as long as we don't keep smashing it down. So our problem is often we like Bhoga Tyaga. We want to enjoy, go, I can't do this. I have to renounce. I've got to follow this. Then we become, this is getting too serious. I got to go out and do some enjoying. We're in this mental platform of roller coaster rides, you know, but enjoying, renouncing. So at some point, as we progress further and further through the lines of anartha nivritti, at some point the material anarthas will start to wane, and gradually we'll become more and more steady. And as this platform steadiness nista, then one will hit the madhyam platform, be able to become steady in their devotional service. As they become steady in their devotional service, what do they want? They're going to be hankering. They want to hanker for association of devotees who can tell us about Krishna, who give their own realizations, who Krishna has given the opportunity somehow or other to help explain about his wonderful pastimes. In this, you're now entering. I was just thinking, Sukadeva Goswami is now entering. He's speaking this to Parikshit. And there's 60,000 different elevated and different levels of devotees that are all in this Asanga association. And they're all getting to hear from Sukadeva Goswami. How fortunate that is. But we're also getting the opportunity, because these books presented by Srila Prabhupada, we're getting a chance to read them in English, hear a purport, an exegesis from a pure devotee. And if we're fortunate enough, we can also enter into that same association. As we hear, Sukadeva Goswami is also there sitting. Also, he is hearing the glorification. He may give his blessings, as well as Srila Prabhupada, as well as all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in our line. They're all waiting. They're all waiting to give their blessings, to give their association to one who really wants it. If you don't want it, you want something else, you're in the wrong movement. What I didn't tell during Gaur Purnim is, what is the other reason Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came? And that reason is what? He came to distribute the super excellent Raganuga Bhakti in the mood of Srimati Radhika. That is the highest perfection that we as jiva souls can obtain. Only once in a day of Brahma does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come. And what does he come to give? He comes to give that Raganuga Bhakti. We don't talk about that much. It's not appropriate to talk about to all the different guests and stuff, because it is elevated platform. But we should know what our destination should be. Because sadhana only begins when you know the sadha. What is the goal? If you don't know what the goal of your sadhana is sadhana bas. It's sadhana, it's devotional, but it's not directed. It's not one-pointed. It's not directed. Therefore, it's many splayed. And until it becomes fixed and you're doing sadhana toward the goal, that's what's called sadhana. In all the scriptures, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, all the lineages said that. So when we become fixed in our desire to please Ishtadev, fixed in our desire to please our Gurudev, fixed in our desire in our own heart to want to put this, and then we do devotional service toward the mood that we would want to obtain or that we feel that's in our heart, and we fix that goal, then sadhana means practicing to obtain that bhava or that goal. That's called sadhana. And that sadhana for all of us should be the platform Not that we're there or that we're even close, but it should be to the level of trying to obtain what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said is that great mood of Baba, in the mood of one of the followers of one of the Brajabasis, one of the great internal followers of Krishna's love and affection in Vrindavan. So that should be our goal. And we should at least know what our goal is, where we should be go. We may not be on the Richter scale. We may have to look down with a microscope to find where we're at in our devotional progress. But we should at least know where we want to go. So if you want to go to New York and you get on Highway 90 and you turn west, where are you going? You're going the opposite direction. So you should know, where is it that we want to go? And somehow or other, as coined by even Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, he said, once you know that it's do or die, then you make that firm determination and that vow on Krishna that you're going to proceed that way. And then what happens, sadhu sangha becomes a very, very, very important aspect in our life, because it is where the truth will become emanated, where our heart becomes fulfilled, will become we'll feel watered in that platform. It's like once the sprout of the creeper starts coming up, then you have to water it. It's like watering tulsi. Tulsi just comes up a little bit. You have to water it. You have to pull the weeds around it. You have to water it so gradually it'll grow and very nicely. But if we don't water it, we become dried out. And we're not also in the International Society for Gyan Consciousness either. It's not that our business has just become learned. Our business is bhakti. Bhakti can come anytime she wants. She's independent. So bhakti is of the heart. So when you're not in devotional association, I was told this, and I'll share it with you. When you're not in sadhu sangha, then what should you do? Then you should be able to read, hear lectures, all this thing. He said, strike the match. It means keep the flame warm. If you keep the flame warm by studying, hearing, reading, when you're not in the sadhu sangha, then that also protects and increases our heart, keeps that pilot light going so it doesn't go out. And when there's a chance for sadhu sangha, one should run to it like nothing else matters. Because in that association, the opportunity of distribution of love and the nectar of the words emanating from a devotee's mouth who has some realization, or if we're very fortunate and have association with very elevated devotees, then we have no understanding of how much benediction that comes from that. We don't, our devotional service is not so much by our own endeavor. We have to put in the endeavor. But there's two things in our Vaishnava society. One is the devotee's individual endeavor. And what is the other? Kripa, mercy. So we're begging the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. We're begging the mercy of Jagannath Baladev Sabed. We're begging the mercy of Kishore Kishore. We're begging the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We're begging the mercy of the Vaishnavas, that they please come and help us. We're fallen. We're not very advanced. That they please come, clean this heart, give us a drop of that mercy, that we may somehow or other become the servant of 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 Srimati Radhika and rendering devotional service to Sisi Radha Madhava. Even if we're not qualified for that, we should have some desire in our heart that somehow or other, by hook or crook, just like if someone, this is called loilam. In that loilam, even if a person is in a, you see, sometimes there'll be someone who's really hungry for a rasgulla or some sandesh or sweet, and they don't have any money. Then what will they do? They may even steal it. But somehow or other, the greed is there by hook, by crook, by this method, by that method. Somehow I must obtain that. So when one has that loilam, one has that determination, when one has that desire, then what happens? All the opportunities Krishna gives one, opportunities, he starts eliminating the so much fever of the fire of material existence goes down, and one becomes happy. And as one hears more and more and more, that loving relationship grows more and more and more, all the way through the different stages up to bhava, and then on to prema, pure love of God. And then we become happy forever. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or additions or comments or corrections? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Mahavali Prabhu. It's very wonderful to have you here and give your association, and especially with what you bring, you know, from all your years of devotional service. And we're grateful.
And I'm grateful to you guys just for, I'm just sitting outside like a National Guard, you know, get called once in a while to come in to render service. The rest of the time I'm in Maya, I think, you know. So I see you guys as my advanced devotees, because you're here serving every day. We're just a weekend warrior, so you're in much better position than I am.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you that you highlighted in the class the importance of sadhu sangha, especially from hearing from self-realized devotees that are bring this knowledge, that are actually given their love and their concern to all conditioned souls. And I wanted to ask you, when you met Srila Prabhupada, if you can tell us a little bit about it. It's always wonderful to hear Prabhupada disciples glorifying, you know, receiving mercy from Srila Prabhupada. And also, what inspired you, and you can tell us a little bit about it, of you were part of the famous library party. So,
how much time do we have? I mean, that's I could probably go on for a long time in all those areas, what do you want to hear, something specific? Or if we want to talk about Prabhupada and his mercy, I fortunately received both the chastisement and the rose and the thunderbolt. So a lot of people all talk about Prabhupada and got the rose. I got both. I got, you know, Chicago here is where I got severely chastised by Prabhupada, because I thought I was puffed up. We were in the library party and we were distributing Bhakti Tirtha, myself and the other members of the library party, which are many of them are your GBCs and temple presidents now anyway. So we were distributing, we were in the Sankirtan newsletter, you know, for months after months, for doing these, you know, 70, 80, I mean, these huge amounts of books were going out. So everyone was going, God, Marbui, Hare Krishna. So they were glorified. So I became contaminated, thinking, yes, I'm good, you know, I'm hot, I'm getting all these things done, you know. And then Prabhupada came here to Chicago to install the deity in 1975. And progressively, I won't go through the whole story because it's long. Progressively, I got, you know, I stepped on Srila Prabhupada's feet. Prabhupada chastised me severely. He had told all the devotees to, you know, they all pay obeisances when they come in to see him. And I was setting up the book table, and so everyone was already sitting. The cameras were going on, and so I kind of gave the namaskars and, you know, sat down. He turned to Hari Kesh. Hari Kesh would never tell me what he said. I don't think you want to know. So, you know, I kept offending Prabhupada. Then the next day, we went and we were having darshan. Satsarup Maharaj was introducing all the library party members, which he knew us mostly before, because I would be serving him every year anyway. But he was going through, and when he got through, you know, to my name, he just looked at me, just gave like a disgusted look. And my head went down and went on to the next person. And then the next thing, there was a big guru pooj. I mean, Uddhava Shloka and Vishwakarma, all that had almost like their bhajan band was up there. Yodhyapati is now about to go Govinda Maharaj. And they were all like doing this serious, you know, Shri Guru Charanap. You know, it was kind of like a concert almost. 500 devotees were going wild. So Guru Kripa, Swami, myself, and Ram Kaili, who's now passed away, we're dancing a little wildly at that time. We were like running and sliding, jumping, and just, you know, doing some, when you have a younger body, I couldn't do that now. I couldn't even get up. But now, I mean, then it was just like different. And so Prabhupada stopped the entire guru pooj. Never seen that before. He just stopped it, just stop. And he turned and he goes, Ma Budi, what is this? This is not how Vaishnavs dance. And he turned to Brahmananda, who was just as shocked as I was. You know, he turned to Brahmananda, Show them how Vaishnavas dance. And Brahmananda was, and then he raised his hand and was doing the Swami, you know. And so then 500 people all just like stopped. You know, we started the RT again. They were doing the Swami. And I drifted back to the 500th person. I couldn't even see Prabhupada. I was just back in the back, you know. And so I decided to give up my life. I figure I've offended Prabhupada as a brahmachari, you know. I'm totally useless. I've offended him so much, I used to give my life. So then the other temple was closer to some water. I guess it was the lake or something over there. And so I left my bead bag in the brahmachari ashram. And I walked out. I was walking down whatever street it is that was going toward the lake, I guess. And I was, you know, that was it. I was committed. I'm, you know, end of my life. But what's the use? I offended my spiritual master. So then I hear this voice. Mahabodhi, and I ignored it. Mahabodhi, Prabhupada wants to see you. And I'm thinking, oh God, I've offended him so many times, it's the last thing I want to do right now. Anyway, the voice was Satsrup Maharaj. So I said, I don't want to get him in trouble. I know Prabhupada sent him. So I walked back with my head down. What are you doing? Where are you going? Prabhupada wants to see you. He sent this car to come get you. I'm going, what do you mean he sent this car to come get you? He sent me to have to go and come get you. And I said, anyway, so we drove back to where the Prabhupada was staying at one of the Grihastha's houses. I don't know which devotee it was. And everyone was inside. There was a whole bunch of shoes out on the lawn and by the porch. So I said, I'm not even going in. I just went and sat by the shoes and just outside. And then I heard inside Prabhupada saying to Satsrup, so where is he? Well, he was just here. He just came in and someone said, he's sitting outside by the shoes. What is he doing there? You know, ping him. And I'm gone. So I walked in, my head hanging down low, feeling completely useless. And I did remember to pay obeisances. So I did full pranams. And then I got up with head hanging low. And I looked to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had this big smile on his face, you know. And then he goes, I want to introduce my disciple, Mahabodhi Das. He will now tell you about all the colleges in the universities and distribution of books and stuff that were going on. I looked at him like, and he just sat back in his chair, had this big grin on it like, okay, I got it. You know, I'm not doing anything. And then he had me speak, and there was, you know, the state senators and some mayors and all the people were gathered here, Evanston, all the different people all in that room. So I had to speak all about all the things we did. But I realized from that point as brahmachari that we're just, you know, we don't have any really redeeming qualities. We're just being used as instruments by Prabhupada. And if we think ourselves as being some grand anything, we're really just completely in Maya. So I realize that as a brahmachari, that actually I pray to be used as an instrument. I pray that maybe if something that I've said or something that I can say or some remembrance or something can reach the heart of a devotee, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Prabhupada or Sri Kishore Kishore, that it can actually help water their soul, that they may make advancement. I pray to be used as an instrument. That's my daily prayer. That somehow or other, that even I don't have any good redeeming qualities, that they take whatever I had as I was commanded, whatever little I know or something, and just try to distribute that. And hope for, you know, their mercy, that the kripa side will come. So I'm a kripa devotee. I'm praying. I do my endeavor, but I realize that my devotional perfection will only come by the mercy of Guru and the Vaishnavas. And then maybe they, by their introduction and their favor, maybe Srimati Radhika or Sri Krishna may, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may bestow us a little drop of mercy. So that was an instructive lesson. Also, Prabhupada, he would many times, he was so thankful of all the books that were going out, he would take a bite of orange. He'd call us up one by one, and after he took a bite, he'd place it in our hand and made us eat it. Then we'd go sit down, then he'd come back, he'd call us back up again and smell individually a flower. I had this rose I had in my Bhagavad Gita for like 30 years, and then my wife cleaned my books or something, and well, there was all these petals in here. So anyway, he would smell this rose and he'd call us up one by one and then he'd give us this rose. So there are many, many pastimes when you're in the room with Prabhupada, when you're on walks, when, you know, you don't know how many different times that just by being in that association, because in the Mahabharata, what does it say? One lava, 1/16th of a second, 16th or 12th, who's less scholars here? Anyway, it's a fraction of a second. One fraction of a second is the highest thing in this world, most rarest thing in this world. One lava second, 1/16th or 1/12th of a second association with a pure devotee is the most rarest thing in the world. What to speak of? You've taken initiation, you're chanting Guru Puj, you're having his association, you're taking his Mahaprasad, you're being initiated by them. These things are like unfathomable. So we take it casually, but if we actually read the literatures that we're doing, we see, you know, that how fortunate. In one sense, we're very fortunate. In another sense, we're very unfortunate, because we're it's like trying to wash coal. We always remain dirty, even though how much you wash it, we're still like not very advanced. So, you know, maybe someday all these associations, and maybe someday I'll become serious, and then really maybe Prabhupada can actually help work through us and give us some opportunity to actually serve him. So there's many other stories, but that kind of combined both. The going into knocking on the doors every day, we had to meet these big puffed up professors and stuff. I also have degrees, but we didn't know what to say. So this is where Prabhupada would be praying, knocking on the doors, and then somehow or other something would come to our brain, and we would say it, and it would just, the person would be, all of a sudden would be attracted, and we're kind of saying things, and then he's buying books for the libraries and doing standing orders and writing reviews, and we come out of the room, we're going, like, we realized that was Prabhupada, but we were the mouthpiece and all the stuff that was going on. So as a brahmachari, doing that for 5-6 years was a very learning experience, that we came to become dependent upon the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And then when Prabhupada told me, every day we were on a walk in Atlanta, and I use this today and for every class because I don't have much intelligence, but he told me, you know, I had become transcendental envious the day before. He spoke to Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who was Ghanashyam then, and told him this verse in the Gita about controlling your senses and things like that. So I felt very transcendentally envious that he got such a personal instruction. All at the same time, I was really happy because I didn't get that instruction, because that would have been a real doozy for me. So anyway, the next day, we're on a walk, and Prabhupada turned to me. This time, I wasn't walking behind him. I had stepped on Prabhupada's feet a few times. So you never want to walk behind Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada would stop on a dime and turn, and you're like... So I've done that. I did that a few times. And then he looked at me and said, I'm your guru. And once it was like, you know, what are you going to say? So I wanted to hear, because my devotional service is hearing. I need to hear more. The more I hear, the more I become excited. So anyway, Prabhupada stopped, and I was to his left. And he looked at me, and he said, you know this verse? You know, and he said, Tesam Satati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yinamam Payantite. And I go, no. I probably read it before, but I did. And then he made me say, Tesam Satata Satata Yuktanam. So I'm going word for word. And there's like 20 devotees, you know, all around going like, and he's probably didn't care. He's talking directly to me. And he's making me go word for word, like the, you know, in the Bhagavatam or Gita class, you know. And then we get to the end, and he made me say the verse, Tesam Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yinamam Payantite. So I did it, you know, okay. So I thought, good, congratulations, you know, my buddhi actually said it. So then he goes, he nodded his head, and he looked at me in such a way that, like, it's sort of, have you ever had Prabhupada, he looked at you and he sort of was like, he was really looking like 10 yards past you, because it was like, it's like, you're just like, you know, like you're a screen, kind of like, and it's like, went through the wind, just went through the screen. So Prabhupada was looking in that way that I kind of like felt naked almost, you know, and he said, you will chant this? And I, Yes, Srila Prabhupada. Every day? And that almost knocked me over. I mean, I was like, and all the people over there was like, you know, kind of shocked. And I said, Yes, Srila Prabhupada. He nodded his head. And everyone's going, wow, you got personal instructions. Prabhupada walked on a few feet. And then he turned back around to me because I didn't have the guy. And he goes, in this way, Krishna will always provide you the intelligence. So I don't take any credit for anything I know or do or any association I get. I consider it the blessing of my spiritual master that I'm not a very studious person. But I always pray that verse because I believe what Prabhupada told me and believe in the mercy of Radha and Krishna, that if I can do that and I chant every day, that somehow Krishna will always provide me the intelligence. So I even do it at work, and the success I have even at work is like I, you know, if I don't know what's the best thing to do, I'll just chant and then all of a sudden something comes up and we go that way. How did you make that decision? The peers at work will go, you can't tell them because they want to understand what I'm talking about. But I find, you know, those blessings by Prabhupada has permeated my life and has given me the opportunity of very good association. And even though I'm not a very qualified devotee or very good one, or, you know, I find that the attraction to Radha and Krishna and to the devotees and to devotional service and the holy name keeps growing. So I'm still hopeful, hope against hope, that, you know, at some day, at some point, some future life or lives, that, you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radharani and Srila Prabhupada and his and the acharyas, the shiksha gurus that he sends to me, will bestow their blessings on me so that I can actually help, actually serve in the Sankirtan army of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and help others. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Is that okay? I don't know if that was even what you wanted. I don't. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mahabhuti Prabhu. Thank you for blessing us with your presence. I have just a small, short gratitude to echo what Subal Prabhu said, since I guess we're short on time. But you were mentioning that don't matter how much you wash a coal, it still doesn't become clean. And that reminds me of one beautiful quote I heard. It says, God transforms caterpillars into butterflies, sand into pearls, and coals into diamonds using time and pressure. He's working on you too. And so the lesson, and the valuable lesson I took from your class is that Prabhupada, you know, knew, he saw a diamond in rough. And that's why I feel that he put so much pressure, not only on you, but a lot of his disciples. And thank you for your presence, and it's been very valuable. And I'm glad you have the opportunity to give a Bhagavatam class after being here all these months, and hopefully you could get more Bhagavatam class. So thank you very much.
I'm at the mercy of the devotees. There's many more advanced people than me here in Chicago. So it's, if the fact that I can even once in a while give it, then that's the Lordship's mercy on me. But I don't really feel, it's not like other people, I don't really feel qualified. I'm not like thinking, oh, you know, I've learned from my association. It's not, you know, I'm not interested in becoming this position. I've even done that in devotional service, so I'm not aspiring to become any position within the society or not. I just want to become useful in Krishna service and somehow, you know, move past the Nartha Nivritti into Nista. You know, I was told I was a Madhyam devotee, and I never felt like a Madhyam devotee. So I don't really feel like I've, you know, made much advancement at all, but maybe that's what you're supposed to feel, I don't know. But I actually appreciate those who are actually rendering service on a full-time basis, and have really, you know, really seen the growth in devotional service, and pray that if it can work on them, maybe it might work on me. So I still have that faith. So all of us should have that desire to please C.C. Radha and Krishna, and our guru, and try to really associate with these books, not just distributing them, reading them, hearing them, and then trying to. I have more by the hearing process than the reading process. Somehow it just inspires my heart and puts me in the moods that I'm able to, you know, get there by hearing more. So ultimately, Shravanam, we're supposed to, these, in the Bhagavatam also said, we're supposed to hear these, not just read them. We have to hear them, and we have to hear them from devotees. So you're all fortunate that you get to come every day and you get to go through the Bhagavatam. So even if You just by going that, your spiritual life will be successful, no doubt. Mine's questionable, yours will be successful. Any other questions? I know I've used too much time, please forgive me. Thank you for the opportunity. I beg that Sri Chaitanya Nityananda, Kishore Kishore, Jagannath Padi Subhadra, please pardon me if I've said anything inappropriately. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Ooh. Go. Harbhav Prabhu, how are you?
Please hear about when you were in Juhu and you almost got killed, everybody? Were you there when there was that big...
Yeah, I was in jail for that. I was the main guy that put in. I was running the temple there, so I got to go to jail for.